Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, July 8th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. Sorry this is coming to y'all late on Monday. The reason being, there was a lot of wrestling throughout the week and the weekend, but there was some shows yesterday on Sunday. Some stuff I wanted to watch live, some stuff I had to catch up on today. I, of course, had my shoot job also, so you'll probably be getting this uploaded around the time of Raw tonight, maybe a little after Raw. So as always, I always appreciate y'all. No matter when I upload, that y'all listen, and you know, if you want to give your feedback, leave some comments or hit me up on Twitter or X at @fighttalk_. But you know, got a lot to talk about today, a lot of results and some spoilers. But before we get started on all that, you know, we did have some big shows throughout the weekend that I won't be really covering on today's show, mainly because I will cover them on the spotlight over on the main YouTube channel for Fightful on Thursday morning. Myself and Jeremy Lambert will be talking about WWE's Money in the Bank. We'll be talking NXT Heatwave. We'll be talking some more extensive stuff on, you know, Jeremy's experiences there live, because he was actually at like these events over the weekend, stuff like that. So I know he was at WWE, and I know he is at IWS and GCW, I believe. Or maybe just GCW, but it was kind of co-promoted, but we'll get to that with those results here shortly. But I know Jeremy was there live in Toronto. He's hanging out with Joel Pearl, so shout out to both of them. I know Joel got some great content for Fightful while he was there, you know, for WWE and a whole bunch of stuff. So make sure to check out that content as well as it drops on Fightful platforms. So massive shout out to Joel Pearl and of course Jeremy Lambert, who once again you can catch the two of us, me and Jeremy, every Thursday morning live on the main Fightful YouTube channel, the Spotlight on Fightful. The plan this week for the interview is to interview Scott Hensley, who is the promoter of SCI. There's a big Scenic City Invitational tournament weekend coming up this weekend. And then the plan is to interview some wrestlers that I've had kind of on my short list that's kind of involved with SCI, involved with IWTV. There's a few names that we're going to chip away at that I know I've wanted to talk to for quite a while. And also, we'll probably try to catch up with whoever wins the SCI tournament, maybe at the future showcase. I'll probably be attending Action Wrestling live as well at DOS Barbecue in Atlanta, Georgia. I think that's two weekends from now. I think July 21st, I want to say. So if you're going to be there live, let me know. If you see me there, say what's up. But I'm looking forward to getting out to some indie shows here in Atlanta soon. And yeah, so there's a lot of good stuff going on. But you know, me and Jeremy will talk a lot about Money in the Bank. We'll be talking Heatwave and once again, some more stuff from this whole week and this weekend. Also, want to give a massive shout out to the competitors of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, Patrick Deep Dish Borelli, who I've actually known about for a long time. For those of you who don't know, I am a big fan of competitive eating. I know it's kind of funny to talk about that, and it's a very niche, weird, funny thing, kind of like wrestling is when you really think about it at the end of the day. Kind of a lot of crossover, as weird as it is, between those two worlds. There's actually guys like Megabyte Ronnie who compete in professional wrestling and in, you know, and in competitive eating, stuff like that. But that said, the reason I'm saying all this is because on the 4th of July, of course, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is a really big deal. Joey Chestnut, who is a true American hero and a guy that I've got to meet multiple times in person. He's a great guy, the nicest guy in the world. I love Joey Chestnut. He's the best in the world at something in history. I think that's really cool. Whether it's eating hot dogs or anything, the fact that you're going to be the best in the world at anything in history, like Joey Chestnut, I think that's pretty damn cool to be able to shake that guy's hand, get some pictures and autographs with that guy. Love that dude. And I'm going to get to Joey in a second. But Deep Dish, the winner of, I'll call him Deep Dish because that's how I was introduced to him years ago. Deep Dish, who won the hot dog eating contest for Nathan's this year, put down 58 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Now, very impressive feat, and I'm very happy for the guy. I actually first discovered him through LA Beast, who is a YouTuber, OG YouTuber, and used to be a competitive eater, mainly does like food challenges, hot, spicy stuff, and like throwback 90s nostalgia type stuff as well on his channel. So shout out to the LA Beast. But I remember him talking about Deep Dish like a decade ago on his YouTube channel. And the guys are friends to this day. I saw them posting together on social media after he won. So, you know, congratulations to Patrick Deep Dish Borelli for winning the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest this year. But it was, of course, because the man, the myth, the legend, the greatest of all time in history, for real, the man, Joey Chestnut, he still competed on the 4th of July. It's not for Nathan's. That's a long story that, you know, if you want to know more about that, I've actually talked about that on the Spotlight quite a bit. I just wanted to put it out there that Joey Chestnut ate 57 hot dogs, one less than Deep Dish, but in half the amount of time, in 5 minutes. Joey Chestnut ate 57 hot dogs. The all-time record is 76, which Joey Chestnut holds for 10 minutes in Nathan's. He's done 74, 75, and 76, I think, in consecutive years, if I remember correctly. Hot dogs and buns. Don't forget about those buns. So anyways, shout out to American hero Joey Chestnut for putting down 57 hot dogs in 5 minutes on the 4th of July. And he's going to be taking on Kobayashi. I believe that's going to be September 2nd on Netflix. Can't wait to see that. 1v1, Joey Chestnut will once again, you know, make America proud and eat the most hot dogs in the world. So all that stuff happened on the 4th of July. And that's all happened since you've heard me last right here on The Weekender, or even on The Spotlight. The Spotlight was on the 4th of July, but, you know, in the morning. So a lot of stuff has happened since then in the world of, you know, hot dog eating. So outside of that, got a lot to talk about today, including a GCW show that aired on the 4th of July, right after I was live on The Spotlight. We're going to talk about it here in a second. So that said, got the topics for today, and we'll jump into it. On this edition of The Weekender, we have results for GCW, Backyard Wrestling 6, and Worst Behavior. Also have IWS and GCW's co-promoted Scar for Life results. We got Beyond Wrestling's American Rana, KOBK for the Working Man, DPW Live 7, Glory Pro Ascend Episode 43, NXT Level Up, and we'll wrap up today's show with some Ring of Honor, Honor Club spoilers. So, as I mentioned a moment ago, I will give, you know, extensive thoughts on Money in the Bank and NXT Heatwave on Thursday with Jeremy, but I will quickly say I very much enjoyed both shows. I know a lot of people were kind of saying, you know, Money in the Bank was like commercial in the bank, a lot of advertisements throughout the show, which, you know, I get, but I expect that going into those shows, and I thoroughly enjoyed the show from start to finish. I honestly did. And I totally called the whole scenario verbatim. I mean, even to the triple threat with Drew McIntyre, I said he was going to win that briefcase. I said he was going to cash in during the show and make it a triple threat. The only thing I got wrong was I was waffling between Damian Priest and Seth Rollins leaving with the championship. I like the way that it's worked out since then, you know, and I like that Rollins has the beef with Punk still. And of course, you have a kind of the three guys, Punk, McIntyre, and Rollins, all intertwined now in this one storyline, which I really, really like where all this is going and where it's been so far. But regardless, Damian Priest is only holding that title until SummerSlam. Gunther is definitely winning that thing. And then Heatwave was a banger of a show from start to finish. So great stuff. A new NXT champion. Shout out to Ethan Page. What a huge turnaround, you know, from you know, Impact to AEW to WWE. You know, what can you say? The guy went from not even, you know, being used on AEW, basically being relegated essentially to, you know, part-time, sometimes on Ring of Honor and all this stuff, and now he's the focal point of NXT, so good for him. But, you know, you love to see it for a guy like Ethan Page, who's been grinding for so long, and who's meant a lot for, you know, to independent wrestling. We talk about Alpha One here on this show when they're running events, and I got to see Ethan Page live many times throughout his indie career before he signed AEW, but even before he was with Impact. So that all said, let's get into the results today. We're going to start off with GCW Backyard Wrestling 6. This show took place on the 4th of July. It's available on Triller TV Plus. All the GCW and IWS and GCW co-promoted shows are available on Triller TV Plus. I'm not endorsed or sponsored to tell you to sign up for the service, but you know, you do get all this stuff included with the monthly package. This is available, once again, Triller TV Plus. It was from New Jersey, and this was essentially, like, literally in a backyard. If you're familiar with these GCW backyard events, they're awesome. You know, they surround the ring with, like, trampolines and above-ground pools, and there's, like, cars parked all over the place and just weapons available everywhere. So me explaining this show, I'm not going to be able to do it justice at all. Like, you definitely got to go out of your way and check this out if you want to really get the full experience of what this kind of show is. It was also cool to see Violent J, or listen to Violent J also, on commentary with Brett Lauderdale throughout the show. So, shout out to Violent J. Whoop whoop. First matchup for GCW Backyard Wrestling 6, we had KJ Styles, who is Kerry Morton, over Sean Henderson. Of course, during these backyard shows, a lot of these guys revert back to their indie wrestling, or I would guess not indie, their backyard wrestling names, I should really say. Or maybe original indie names, you know, previous aliases that they used in a previous life to what we see now. We'll just put it that way. KJ Styles, once again, aka Kerry Morton, over Sean Henderson in the opener. The finish here was a blatant low blow, but there's no DQ. So low blow followed up by a final cut. I always just call that move the final cut. The reverse DDT into like the elbow. I always call it the final cut because I must have seen the Big Show do that first. But then I remember the Hurricane really using it more often and popularizing it more. But I think I saw the Big Show do that move first, and I'm thinking about it. I think that's why it was called the final cut, now that I think about it more. So there you go. You got Kerry Morton, aka KJ Styles, over Sean Henderson. After that, we have Claude Morrow Jr., who is Ruckus, over Eminem, who is Jimmy Lloyd. The finish of this one was a Falcon Arrow through two open chairs. So Morrow has Eminem up, like, on, they're standing on a group of chairs and does a Falcon Arrow right through him for the three count. After that, we had Brian Johnson over Adam, spelled A-T-O-M. Adam, who is Adam Galt. The finish of this one was Brian Johnson pushing the referee into the ropes when Adam was on the top. Adam crotches himself on the top rope and the top turnbuckle. Brian follows up with a London Calling, and then I don't know what he calls this move. I wrote down Curtis Axel neckbreaker, because it's like the, if you remember, it's a terrible move. I've seen a handful of wrestlers use it. It's kind of similar to the, what's LA Knight call that terrible stunner type thing he does? Blunt Force Trauma. It's kind of like that. It's like you set him up in a neckbreaker and then drop him face first into that. I think it's a terrible move, personally. I've never liked it, no matter who executes it. But that said, we're just going to write down Curtis Axel style neckbreaker. And that's going to be the finish there for Brian Johnson. After that, we had a three-way death match where J.J. Allen defeated Dr. Redacted and Tarzan Duran. This match was nuts, as you would expect. Of course, we saw cameos by Weed Whackers and stuff like that. We had the finish here was an assault driver through a table in the corner onto Tarzan Duran for the three count. After that, we had a six-person tag team match that became more than just that. But we had Jordan's team, which was Jordan Oliver, Charlie Tiger, and Matthew Yeager, over Crew, the team of Everest, Kurt Bale, and Lance Scaper. The finish of this one was... So basically what happens is Charlie Tiger hits a top rope, what was like supposed to be a splash or an elbow drop, but it was like right to the nuts. Everest is selling his nuts off the splash from the top. And then Tiger saves Sleepy Ed, who Sleepy Ed was asleep in a van and got woken up by Jordan Oliver. And Ed falls asleep in the above ground pool. And Charlie Tiger like plugs his nose and jumps in and saves him like an unqualified lifeguard, basically, and gets him out of the pool, slides him into the ring, and he's still asleep, and Sleepy Eddie just lays across the body of Everest and gets the pin, and Jordan's team wins. After that, we had Mr. J, who is Jay Sawyer, over a Lil Skittle. The finish of this one was it was supposed to be a top rope double stomp. I think really only one leg wound up coming down, but nonetheless, it was pretty brutal. It was a top rope stomp, we'll just say, by Mr. J off the top rope onto Skittle, who had a bunch of chairs on top of him for the three count. And the main event of the show, we had Vampiro, who is Facade, who you may have recently seen on WWE TV. I believe it was SmackDown, where Cody, Owens, and Orton beat up a whole bunch of security guards. Facade was one of the dudes in there taking bumps, so shout out to Facade. He's a guy I got to see live years and years ago at the Nashville Fairgrounds, Nashville, Tennessee, of course. But I remember seeing him live. I think the first company I watched him for was Freedom Pro Wrestling. If anyone is familiar with that company, they weren't around very long, but there were some fun shows. But I've always been a Facade fan. The guy's super talented and really slept on and underrated in the grand scheme of wrestling, in my opinion. But Vampiro, a.k.a. Facade, defeats Lucky 13 in the main event of Backyard Wrestling 6. The finish of this one was a cutter off of a forklift. Like, I couldn't even tell you how high these guys were, above the ring. They were up there. Really nice, flying, diving, diamond cutter, RKO, whatever you want to call it, off of the forklift through a table bridge in the ring, basically a big piece of wood held up by some chairs. And Facade, or Vampiro, gets the win in the main event. And after the show, I forgot to mention the beginning of the show and at the end of the show, we had some pyro displays, some great pyrotechnics and fireworks, just, celebrate the 4th of July. This was great stuff. Brett Lauderdale and the GCW crew, they didn't, money wasn't an issue. You know what I mean? They made sure to go all out, and the display at the beginning of the show and everything, it just really made me proud to be an American. And, it's one of those things where it's like you wake up on the 4th of July and you're me, right? You wake up on the 4th of July, you don't have to work. I don't have to work my shoe job. I'm getting paid not to have to work, right? And I'm like, man, this is great. And it's like I wake up and, I don't have to go to work. And once again, I'm getting paid to not even have to work. And I start my day off talking to my buddy Rob Wilkins, who filled in for Jeremy on the Spotlight last Thursday. Wake up, talk to him about pro wrestling. And then that flows right into watching the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, and I see Deep Dish finally get the, the mustard title belt that I've held on my own, shoulder before myself, actually. Really cool, really, really cool stuff. So he gets the win. I'm like feeling good. The vibes are great. These are immaculate vibes. You know what I mean? On a 4th of July, on an Independence Day. And that flows right into Backyard Wrestling 6. And, when I see the firework display and I hear the American music, it just makes me so proud to be American. You know what I mean? And, I have such a great day because of stuff like this. And then after that, I watched Joey Chestnut do his thing. And then after that, the Real Bros of Simi Valley winds up dropping a day early over on the Roku channel. Shout out to Jimmy Tatro and, everybody involved with that. Gitter, Nick Coletti. This was a great 4th of July. You know what I mean? What more can you say? So, once again, that was Backyard Wrestling 6. We still got a lot of wrestling to talk about with these results. We'll go right into GCW Worst Behavior 2024. The show also available, of course, on Triller TV Plus. And this one was from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, at the Opera House, which is a great venue. I love the Opera House. First up, we had a four-way match where Jack Cartwheel defeats Charlie Tiger, Harlan Abbott, and Marcus Mathers. Well, speaking of Jack Cartwheel, I didn't mention this at the top of the show, but we'll get caught up on NWA probably next week or the following week. We're getting close to the actual Crockett Cup finally airing, like the finals of the tag tournament and everything. There was a good match between Joe Alonzo and Jack Cartwheel 2 episodes ago for NWA Power. I'd recommend checking that out. That just reminded me because I'm about to talk about Jack Cartwheel here for GCW, but we'll get back into more NWA results probably once we get a little closer once again to the Crockett Cup finals airing, or if we have like some slower weeks. But there was just more important stuff to cover this week, and once again, we're just kind of killing time until that tournament's kind of airing because it taped like the middle of May, if I remember correctly. So anyways, that all said, Jack Cartwheel gets the win in the opening four-way match for GCW Worst Behavior. Finish of this one was Charlie Tiger hitting a headbutt on Abbott, and then Jack Cartwheel hitting a jack arrow, which, he normally hits more like a, more like the black arrow, which is what it is. Pac made that move famous, the red arrow, black arrow, whatever you want to call it. But Jack did like kind of a different type of spin, it felt like, or maybe it was more delayed. Either way, it looked a little more impressive somehow, the way that he hit it. So it's funny, maybe there's an extra rotation in there. It was kind of hard to tell, but Jack Cartwheel's so damn talented. I mean, y'all know how I feel about him if you listen to any of my stuff. Big time Jack Cartwheel fan. We've interviewed him multiple times for the Spotlight over on Fightful. That said, the finish of this one was once again the Jack Arrow off the top rope, and he hits both Abbott and Tiger with it, pins Tiger for the three count. After that, we had Megan Bain over Jody Threat. The finish here was Jody coming off the second rope with a crossbody attempt. Megan Bain catches her midair, puts her up in a tombstone piledriver, and gets the pinfall victory. After that, we had Gringo Loco over Galano Del Mal. The finish of this one was a top rope Spanish fly by Gringo for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Speedball Mike Bailey over Kerry Morton. The finish here was Kerry Morton grabs the microphone. He's talking a whole bunch of trash. As he's talking trash, he's, you know, not paying attention. Speedball hits him with a super kick, followed up by a Trouble in Paradise, and then hits him with Ultima Weapon for the 1-2-3. Up next, we had the Bollywood Boys over the Garbage Daddies, a team of Alec Price and Cole Radrick. The finish of this one was both Shearer brothers hitting double low blows with hockey sticks onto both Price and the Ratty Daddy, and then the backbreaker top rope elbow drop combination by the Bollywood Boys to Cole Radrick for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Gabe Kidd over Joey Janela. The finish here was a rebound lariat for a kickout at one, followed up by a pile driver for the three count. Gabe Kidd gets the win over Janela. After the match, he talks some more trash to Janela and basically tells him if he wants more, he knows where to find him. Up next, we had Jordan Oliver over Charles Mason. The finish here was Jordan reversing a rear naked choke into a stack pin for the three count. After the match, Charles Mason attacks him with a chair and targets the knee that had been injured throughout the match with the chair. You know, they'll continue this feud going forward, which I like to see. You know, as far as like some personal thoughts on some of the stuff from this show, you know, Alec Price and Cole Radrick losing to the Bollywood Boys, not a huge deal, but you know, I do want to see Ratty Daddy winning more often, especially since he has the brass ring. I don't know if he's going to cash in with Alec Price, if they'll do a tag team match eventually. You know, they've unsuccessfully challenged VIF, but that was really early on in VIF's run with the belts. But, you know, I'd like to see Cole Radrick go for the world title, but I, you know, that's also because I'm super biased. Y'all know I love Cole, so, and I love Alec as well. I mean, these are two of my favorite guys in wrestling, so I want the best for both guys, but it's like the Bollywood Boys are the Bollywood Boys. It's not like losing to them is, you know, a demotion. You know, Bollywood Boys are great. So it's just one of those things where I'm just really interested to see what they do with Cole and that brass ring ultimately. But that's the point, right? It's got me thinking. And the reason I thought about that just then is because Cole recently had a long-going, you know, feud and story with Charles Mason. And that's one thing about Charles Mason. You know, I shouldn't say one thing. There's a lot of things that are great about Charles Mason, actually. I think he's really underrated in the ring. His style and, like, for his character, a lot of his stuff is, like, more methodical, more just, like, you know, wearing you down and just, like, you know, kind of playing with his food, if that makes sense. But once again, it's for the gimmick, for the character that he's portraying. But when it comes down to it, when he needs to go in the ring, that dude is damn good in the ring. And Jordan Oliver, y'all know how I feel about Jordo. I think he should be the GCW world champion, or, you know, should have been already, or should be one of the next ones to do that. So I think it's good that, though, like, if you don't have a title match coming up or anything like that, a feud with Charles Mason it's good because it keeps you doing something interesting. You'll have good matches and an interesting story. And I'd imagine that Jordo will probably overcome and prevail and beat Charles Mason eventually, and then move on to probably the world title scene again. So just some, you know, extended thoughts on some of the stuff from the show up to this point. After that, we had a six-person tag team match. Bussy, the team of Alley Catch and Effie, along with Masha Slamovich, defeats the team of Ream Phantom, PCP, Crazy F and Manny, and Sexy Eddie. Phantom, Manny, and Eddie are, of course, you know, the lifeblood of IWS. You know, founders of the company, especially, you know, PCP. We interviewed him for the spotlight a while ago, and, you know, it's such a legend. I love that guy. I love PCP. He's insane, but in a good way. And it's wild. I mean, I'm kind of just picking and choosing some of the people that I've talked about that we've interviewed. But if you're not familiar with the spotlight, we've interviewed like the majority of the people we're talking about on these shows. But just one of those things, it's kind of surreal that I've interviewed PCP, Crazy F and Manny, because he's such an enigma of a guy. And shout out to Joel Pearl once again. He's tried to hook me up with some other interviews with some of these guys from that scene. And the timing hasn't worked out, but I'd love to talk to guys like Green Phantom and Sexy Eddie in the future too, because those all those IWS guys are characters, and they've been in the game for so long. But that said, Bussy and Master Slamovich get the win in that one overall. Just say like the IWS legends. The finish of this one was a triple power bomb from the stage through a door bridge on the outs from the outside to the inside of the ring. Effie power bombing PCP Crazy Effin' Manny through the door bridge gets the 1-2-3. After that, we had the GCW tag team titles on the line. Violence is Forever, the team of Dominic Greene and Kevin Koo, defend and retain their titles over Dynasty, the team of Jackson Roy and Sway Archer, who had Mikey Truth in their corner. Y'all know how I feel about VIF. Best tag team in the world, in my opinion. Any company, don't even care. On television, not on television. Koo and Greene are my guys. Love to see it. Keep racking up wins and title defenses. They have the most defenses of the GCW tag team titles in a single reign of anyone in history, of any team in history. Of course, teams like Los Mestizos have, held the title 4 times and technically, more decorated from that sense, but VIF is already put together a legendary run with these tag belts, and I hope it doesn't end anytime soon. The finish of this one was Chasing the Dragon by Koo and Greene onto Sway for the 3 count. And the main event of the show, we had a non-title hardcore match. So this is Blake Christian versus Mance Warner. Mance Warner, technically the true GCW world champion. Blake Christian never lost his title, so both guys really kind of, laying claim to being the champion. This was non-title though, and this was a no contest. Basically, what winds up happening is Jimmy Lloyd gets involved, SDL gets involved, Megan Bain and Joey Janela come out and get involved, and everything winds up breaking down to the point where Blake Christian has the screwdriver in his hand that Mance Warner brings. And Blake gives the screwdriver to Mance, and Mance basically, pokes. I mean, what's implied is that he basically poked Megan Bain's eye out with a screwdriver. So, brutal stuff there, and it's continuing to build towards the big triple threat for the GCW Championship between Mance Warner, Blake Christian, and Joey Janela. And that also led into the next set of results, which was IWS and GCW Scarred for Life 2024. This took place out of L'Olympia in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. This was from July 7th on Triller TV Plus. I love this venue. I love Montreal. I just mentioned the IWS legends, as I called them, huge in Canada, but like especially Montreal. And I think Montreal scene, one of the first people I think about are, guys like Green Phantom, guys like Sexy Eddie, but like especially PCP, Crazy Effin' Manny. I've talked about it before, but my mother was from Montreal, so I have like this kind of weird connection to that place as well. I haven't been there since I was a little kid, but it just one of those things where I just think it's really cool that they have such a great scene up there in Montreal. And like these guys have been around for so long. I can't stress enough how long these guys from IWS have been around that we're talking about. Now, there's some newer guys, of course, that we're going to talk about too, that we're going to go throughout the show with these results, but it just can't be understated how long guys like Green Phantom and PCP have been in the game. The first match we had was a 6-person tag match where Leah Sparks, Melanie Havoc, and Nathan Yaramovich defeat Elevation, the team of Bray Delarusso, Tyler Knox, along with Danny Leo. The finish of this one was Nathan hitting a top rope frog splash onto Delarusso for the 3 count to get the win for his team. After that, we had a three-way where Masha Slamovich defeats Kristara and Katrina Reed. The best way, I'll try to do my best to describe the finish here. So basically, Kristara hits an enziguri onto Creed, and then Masha hits a shining wizard onto Kristara, and then Masha pins Creed off of the enziguri. So Masha pins Creed ultimately to get the 3 count and win the three-way match. After that, we had Dante Dubois over Alex Mays, Ben Ortman's, Bob Anger, Sexy Eddie, and Tara Zepp. The finish of this one was a German, it was basically a German suplex into a power bomb by Dubois for the 3 count. Up next, we had Castover Productions, a team of Stephen Maines and JT Producer, along with Matt Viviani. They defeat Broski Jimmy and Charlie Tiger. The finish of this one was a power slam and neckbreaker combo onto Tiger for the three count. After that, we had the IWS World Heavyweight title on the line in a hardcore match. Carl Jepsen defends and retains over Gringo Loco. The finish of this one was a Yushigiroshi followed by a top rope splash by Jepsen to Gringo to get the three count and retain his title. After that, we had a four-way match where Gabe Kidd defeated Benjamin Toll, James Stone, and Junior Benito. The finish here was a pile driver by Gabe Kidd onto Junior Benito for the 1-2-3. After that, we had TDT, the team of Matthew St. Jacques and Thomas Dubois, over the team of Bussy, Alley Catch, and Effie. The finish here was, it's hard to explain, but it was like Effie was upside down in like a powerbomb, about to get powerbomb position. He gets hit with a chair to the head and then a sit-out powerbomb for the three count. Up next, we have the GCW World title on the line. Mance Warner defends and retains over Green Phantom. Gets the win, technically, by draw. The finish here is essentially Green Phantom hits, I think it was like the Fantasma. I don't remember exactly what he calls it, but it's an assault driver, basically. He hits a running assault driver through a door in the corner, and as the ref counts 1, 2, before they can get to 3, the 10-minute time limit hits, and it's a draw, but the referee does count 3, and Mance Warner's shoulders are on the mat, but Phantom has run out of time. Green Phantom, absolute legend, as I keep mentioning, especially in Montreal, in a building like this, in a company like this. Like, can't say enough good things about Green Phantom. Would love to interview the guy soon, as I mentioned before. But it's weird how Mance Warner is being kind of booked as the GCW champion right now. And I get why they're doing it. It's heel tactics. It's being a coward, right? It's hiding behind screwdrivers and stuff like that. And it's hiding behind a microphone. It's not really wrestling people. It's not really beating people. It's just like barely scraping by and calling yourself the world champion. I get that. That's what they're going for. But it isn't a great look optically to see the world champion constantly in like no contest, disqualifications, and literally getting pinned for 3 and like retaining the title on a technicality, especially when he's going into this big triple threat title match where I would assume he's going to leave as the champion. I don't see Blake Christian winning and continuing the title run because I think had Blake Christian been available for Tournament of Survival weekend and Cage of Survival and that show that everything that he missed where they stripped him of the title, if he was there, I think Joey Janela was going to beat him for that championship and then Mance Warner was going to cash in his do or die and win the title that night. So like, I think the plan for a long time has been to put the title on Mance Warner. So I don't think they're going to go back to Blake Christian. There's really no need to. And Blake had a great run with the title, but like, there's like nothing left. He should have lost the title at Spring Break. They shouldn't have done the turn with Missy Hyatt. You know, I've talked about that ad nauseum over the last, you know, handful of months or whatever. But the point is, I don't think they're going back to Blake with the title. And I don't think Joey necessarily needs to be the champion. Like, he's already, outside of maybe Nick Gage, he's basically the face of GCW at this point, and Nick isn't able to be there as often, and I'll talk about that in a second. He was supposed to be in the main event of the show, but Nick Gage isn't there nearly as often as Joey Janela is, and Joey has kind of taken on the role of like kind of like the workhorse face of the company in a lot of ways. And that's no disrespect to the King, Nick Gage. You'll know how much I love him, MDK, LF, and Day, but you know, it is what it is. Like, if Nick Gage can't be there all the time, which I wouldn't expect him to be at this point, Joey's kind of that guy right now, but he doesn't need to be the champion to do that. The other wild card, like I keep mentioning, Cole Radrick with the brass ring. I mean, he won that brass ring in a title match, or in a ladder match. Imagine if Cole Radrick came out and won the championship. I'd throw everybody off, but I think it'd be damn cool to see the Ratty Daddy pull that off, so just throwing some seeds out there that, you know, potentially sprout into, you know, something we see on the screen maybe for GCW. Just throwing some stuff out there. But That said, Manswater technically defends and retains over Green Phantom, and Phantom had him dead to rights. Time limit draw. And the main event of the show was a death match. PCP Crazy F and Manny defeats Joey Janela. As I just mentioned, this was supposed to be Manny versus Nick Gage, but Nick Gage could not make it due to injury. So I hope everything's all good with Nick Gage, of course. Health is more important than making these shows. And Joey Janela, of course, for pretty much all the reasons I just mentioned, the perfect replacement. And, it is a bummer because Manny has even told me during interviews that his favorite opponent in the world and the easiest person in the world to work with for him is Nick Gage, which is kind of wild when you think about that. But he's also not the first guy that we've heard tell us that either. So, shout out to Nick Gage. But, Joey Janela gets in there, and one spot you'll definitely have to see from this match, it's gone pretty viral. But at one point during this, Joey Janela climbs on top of a moving truck and lights a cigarette. And as he's smoking a cigarette, does a flying elbow off of the top of the moving truck through a table, through PCP Manny. By the end of this match, though, we had members of like Bussy and stuff come out, and we had a whole bunch of stuff happens. Can't do the match justice, of course, but it was nuts, and that spot was absolutely insane. But once again, Joey Janela known to do stuff like that throughout his career, of course. The whole Zandig thing, where they jumped off that building into the back of a truck, was like probably the first time I even heard about Joey Janela. So, he's made a name off of stuff like that. Anyway, that all said, the finish of this one was a junkie driver, which is Manny's version of like a leg cross Falcon Arrow, through a table for the 1-2-3. After the match, Green Phantom and Sexy Eddie come out in the IWS Legends all drink some beer together to end the show. Moving on, you got results for Beyond Wrestling's American Rana 2024, Where Eagles Dare. This show took place on the 4th of July, and this was Beyond Wrestling from Worcester. I can never say the name of that city right. Massachusetts. This was in the White Eagle, of course, become a legendary venue in itself. I remember years ago, there was so much buzz around American Rana shows. Back when, IWTV had the rights to, all of these companies before stuff started, splitting off again to all these other platforms, American Rana was, the WrestleMania of IWTV. And this was still a damn great show. So, once again, this was a nightcap to the 4th of July. I forgot this was on the 4th of July because I watched this live that night, but so much has happened since then and on that day. I forgot that I watched this that night. So, great stuff. The opening of the show was a pre-show match, which I obviously didn't see, but I know that Masha Slamovich defeated Marcus Mathers. When the actual show started, we had the Wrestling Open title on the line. Brad Hollister, a.k.a. Big Bacon, defends and retains his title over Alex Shelley. The finish here was Bacon reversing a shell-shocked attempt into a schoolboy roll-up, but he grabs the tights for extra leverage. He gets the 1-2-3. After that, we had Janai Kai over Tracy Williams. The finish here was a Trouble in Paradise, which puts Tracy into the corner. And then Janai Kai follows up by hitting Hot Sauce with a running super kick in the corner and pinning him for the 3 count. Now, speaking of those early IWTV days, even before that, it was Powerbomb.tv. And I remember Hot Sauce Tracy Williams as the Powerbomb.tv championship. He may have been the guy who was holding the title when they rebranded it to IWTV's championship. I can't remember. But, it used to be Powerbomb.tv, then it became IWTV or IndependentWrestling.tv. Of course, use code FIGHTTALK, by the way, FIGHTTALK. Use code FIGHTTALK. Let them know who sent you over there at IWTV if you want to go sign up for the service. Unlike Triller TV Plus, I am endorsed and sponsored by IWTV to tell y'all to use that code. But, Hot Sauce is a guy who had a great run in Ring of Honor, and still kind of loosely affiliated, but I feel like he should be doing so much more. He's so talented. And he had some of the best matches I've ever seen live in the basement east in Nashville, Tennessee when he came through there. So him and Kevin Q had a banger years ago that y'all should check out. Anyways, once again, Janai Kai over Tracy Williams. After that, we had Drew Gulak, who's now returned to the indie scene after leaving WWE in controversial fashion, we'll just say. Drew Gulak defeats Filthy Tom Lawler. The finish here was Gulak grabbing the referee while Lawler has him in a sleeper hold and doing a back dick kick, like a kicks backwards right to the dick of Filthy Tom. Follows up with, I wrote down the bro stone because it was basically like a Matt Riddle style, like, you know, Gotch style tombstone piledriver for the three count. After that, we had an 8-person tag team match where Big Business, the team of Julio Cruz, Love Doug, TJ Crawford, and Victor Chase, defeat Team Wrestling Open, the team of Desmond Cole, Jermaine Marbury, Pedro Donas, and Fancy Ryan Clancy. The finish here was a silver bullet to Dones for the three count. After that, we had Donovan Dijak, who is now officially returned to the indie scene, popped up before this, but now actually in their wrestling, competing once again. Great to see. I've talked about it 1,000 times. I have drove many, many hours back when Dijak was on the indies before he got signed to WWE. I used to travel around trying to see this guy live wherever I could because he was so talented, so fast, so athletic. I knew he was going to be a big star, and I wanted to see him live before it was hard to go see him. Great to see him back. Dijak with the win over Aaron Rourke. Gets the win after hitting a 360 kick to the face, followed up with a feast your eyes for the 1-2-3. After that, we had the Wrestling Open tag team titles on the line. The Church of Greatness, the team of Tyree Taylor and Ichiban, defend and retain their titles. They have Brother Greatness on the outside. Defend their belts over Midnight Heat, the team of Eddie Pearl and Ricky Gibson. The finish of this one was the Final Testament, the combination of a stroke and a springboard flatliner by Taylor and Ichiban for the three count to retain their titles. After that, we had Joe Janela over Alec Price. The finish here was Alec Price going for like a springboard, and as he's flying about to fly backwards, Joe Janela catches him before he leaves the ropes, hits him with a burning hammer, and pins him for the three count. After the match, it looks like the two are showing each other respect. Alec hits a super kick onto Janela and then hits him with some ground and pound before leaving the ring. Up next, we had a tag team match with a special referee, Ortiz. This was Waves and Curls, the team of Jalen Braden and Traven Jordan, over Bussy, the team of Ali Catch and Effie. The finish here did not go as planned, and it came off very, very corny. Ortiz has a confetti popper in his hands, and it's not going off. So he basically just barely uses it, like bops people in the head with it, and like it just doesn't, or sorry, I said people, bops Jalen Braden with it specifically. Traven Jordan had been knocked out of the ring. So Ortiz hits Braden very, very lightly a couple times with this popper that doesn't work. And then Ali Catch does a schoolboy roll up onto Jalen for the 1-2-3. And the main event of the show for the IWTV Independent Wrestling World Championship, we had Cruel defending retaining his title over Megan Bain. The finish here was Cruel just grabbing Bain around the neck in a chokehold, and like they're like in a standing position, and they go straight down to the mat, and Cruel just chokes the life out of her. She passes out, the referee checks on her, calls for the bell. Cruel once again successfully retains his IWTV Championship. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I have no clue who is going to be able to eventually beat this dude. I thought Adam Priest had the best chance of anyone in recent memory, and I don't think that's happening. Although the two of them did team, which we'll talk about here in a second as well. But, you know, Cruel's the man, and he's a guy who's on the short list. I'll pull the curtain back a little bit. I have been talking to Cruel behind the scenes a little bit. I would love to get him on the podcast on the spotlight for you guys soon. So hopefully we can make that happen soon. I would love to get in the mind of Cruel because, once again, super, super talented. I've been a fan a long time. I've been a fan since I knew him as Logan Creed in a past life on the independent wrestling scene. So that said, Cruel continues his reign of terror as that IWTV World Champion. Defends over Megan Bain in the main event of American Rana. Moving on, got KOBK, Killer Be Killed. Shout out to Moe's and the whole crew over there. This is for the working man. This is available over on independentwrestling.tv. Use code FIGHTTALK. This was from Duke's Honky Tonk in Indianapolis, Indiana. And this aired on June 30th. But well, actually, it was technically, it didn't air on June 30th. It was taped on June 30th, I believe. And then it aired around the 4th of July, I want to say. Anyway, it's available right now for y'all if you want to check it out on IWTV. First up, we had Sean Campbell over Anakin Murphy. And the finish here was a pile driver for the 1-2-3. After that, we had ADS, the team of Kudo Death Society, Chris Kronk, and Kevin Ryan. They defeat the Original Sins, the team of Dick Michaels and Tyler Lytle. The finish here, I got to figure out what they call this move. They have to have a name for this. But it's that double team. I've talked about it before. But basically, Chris Kronk does a vertical suplex as Kevin Ryan does like the Undertaker rope walk and grabs the leg. So it's like a leg-assisted top rope walk springboard double team vertical suplex by ADS for the three count. After that, we had Hardway Heater over Gary J in a battle of two guys just hitting the hell out of each other, which is exactly what you would expect out of these two guys. Gary J has been like an unsung hero of the independent scene for really as long as I've been paying attention to the indie scene and covering it. I mean, forever at this point. I say forever. It's since like 2016 or 17 or whatever. But Gary J, just banger after banger after banger. And this totally lived up to what I was expecting out of these two. The finish here was a sit-out tiger driver by Heater to Gary J for the three count. After that, we had one called Manders over Big Dave. The finish of this one was a standing lariat to the back of the head, followed up by a running lariat by Manders to Dave for the three count in a battle of hosses. After that, we had a three-way match where Cole Radrick defeated Braden Toon and Jameson Shook. The finish of this one was a bunch of pin reversals by Braden Toon and Cole Radrick going back and forth, back and forth. Cole eventually gets like a victory roll type stack pin onto Braden Toon, sticks him for the three count, Ratty Daddy with the W there. And the main event of the show, we had Hoodfoot over Lutha X. The finish here was a headbutt followed by a Ghostbuster for the 1-2-3. So as you'd imagine, a lot of KOBK affiliated, you know, members here on the show. In these matches, we of course had Moe's on commentary. We had Sean Campbell in action from KOBK. We had Hardway Heater from KOBK. We had Lutha X from KOBK. No match from Brett Eisen, which is a little disappointing. Y'all know I'm a big fan of Brett Eisen, but you know he picks and chooses his spots. But I'm hoping to see him live at action. I hope he's there when I'm there in at DOS Barbecue. But I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot of these guys and girls and, you know, non-binary wrestlers and stuff, like people of all backgrounds. I can't wait to see, you know, a lot of people I haven't seen in a long time live. I'm really hoping to be at that show at DOS Barbecue in Atlanta. So once again, shout out to KOBK, shout out to the homie Moe's, and check the show out over on independentwrestling.tv. Moving on, I'm running low on time, so we're going to do some quick results for DPW Live 7. This show is available on dpwondemand.com, and it aired on July 6th, so just 2 days ago. Once again, that's on DPW's website. This was from Raleigh, North Carolina, and these are the results. We have LeBron Cazone over Diego Hill and Ichiban in a three-way. Have Chris Danger over Breeze. A battle of the best first-round match, Danny Luna over Danny B. We had a Raleigh street fight where BK Westbrook and Kevin Blackwood defeated Adam Priest and Cruel. As I just mentioned before, Cruel and Adam Priest will always be linked to one another, whether it's as enemies or even as teammates, you know. They haven't teamed a whole lot on screen, but behind the scenes, the two guys have known each other a very long time, wrestled on a lot of the same independent promotions, have had a feud with one another that spanned all over different promotions, all over the world. I mean, so it's really cool to see these guys as a team after all their battles. But I keep saying it, and I haven't really done much digging, but you know, I'm interested to see what the future is for Adam Priest. Cruel, of course, killing it in MLW. Might as well be the MLW World Champion at this point, as far as I'm concerned. I think that's probably going to be Matt Riddle. Riddle is kind of being positioned, it looks like, to be the one to beat Kojima. But if I were them, I'd probably just go all the way with Cruel. It's, you know, if they've gone for any length of time in the future, like locked down a contract. But that's not my decision to make. But, you know, I am a fan of MLW. We cover MLW. They just haven't been really running shows as consistently. But that said, Westbrook and Blackwood over Priest and Cruel. After that, we had Robbie Eagles over Alec Price, a battle of the best first round match, Shoko Nakajima over Masha Slamovich. In the main event of the show, we had DPW World Tag Team titles on the line. Jake Something and Mike Bailey then retained their titles over Calvin Tankman and Titus Alexander. I'm a huge fan of all four of these guys. Jake Something just keeps getting better and better and better. A guy his size that can work as well as he can, the way that he can move, his athleticism, just the total package. And a guy who has had success in Impact Wrestling, but I feel like still hasn't reached what he's going to. I mean, at some point he'll be a household name, I really feel like, in AEW or WWE at some point in the future. Speedball Mike Bailey, I don't know how I feel about him. Probably the most consistent top performer, you know, at least in the last handful of years. Like, if you took the last, like, 3-4 years of just speedball matches up against anybody in the world, just the catalog of matches and how many matches the guys had, he'd be so far up there on the list. I mean, he was my wrestler of the year at least one time in the last 4 years, maybe twice when I was doing, like, these award-type shows and stuff. And, I mean, Titus Alexander, it's just a matter of time for him. He's still in his early 20s. He was the man, well, I shouldn't say was, he's the man in West Coast Pro, but, you know, been their champion. The future is so bright. Shout out to Mouse, actually, Robert Bellamy, the father of Billy Starks. I remember when me and Jeremy interviewed him for the Spotlight, he was the name that he brought up as, like, maybe, like, the best worker in the world. And I was already familiar with Titus and watching his matches, and I was already very impressed. But when you hear, you know, people that you respect out there in the wrestling world, you know, put people over, I always listen to that and really take that to heart. And Titus is a guy that I mean, he's going to be a massive, massive star. And Calvin Tankman, I've said it 1,000 times, he was under contract to MLW, or at least working with MLW for years. And I was shocked they never really went all the way with him. Like, don't get me wrong, he had a really good run there. He was a tag team champion, but I really felt like he should have been a world champion. He could have been a guy to maybe beat Fatu when Fatu was holding that title. Now, ultimately, it wound up being Hammerstone. Things worked out. You know, hindsight's 20/20, but I've always been a big Calvin Tankman fan. I've said it 1,000 times. The guy can work UWFI style, like, work shoot matches that I've seen in, like, Paradigm. But he can also, you know, work literally any type of matches, and he's just super, super talented. Can't say enough good things. Shout out to DPW. Check their shows out over on dpwondemand.com. Moving on, got some results for Glory Pro Wrestling. This is Ascend episode 43. It's available for free on the Glory Pro YouTube channel, and this episode actually just got uploaded within a day of me giving the results. So these are the Ascend episode 43 results. We had Lainey Luck over Lily Rees. The finish here was Lainey catching a leg and then doing a backslide pin for the 3 count. After that, we had Sanity over the New Guys. Sanity gets the win with a double team neckbreaker and Vader bomb combo for the 3 count. And the main event of the show, we had Raheem De La Suede over Myron Reed and Deliverer Moses in a triple threat match. The finish here was Myron going for a big boot and knocking Moses off of the ring apron. De La Suede follows up with kind of like a sunset flip type variation and gets his feet up on the rope for the extra leverage, gets the dirty pin, 1-2-3. Raheem De La Suede gets the win in the main event. And this was Myron Reed's return. He hadn't been in Glory Pro for a while, but this was his return to Glory Pro. And I've talked about it 1,000 times when I used to live in Nashville, and I'd see guys like Jake Something and Warhorse and Dan the Dad and Everett Connors, and I can go on and on. And all these people had different names and different gimmicks and no moves and were just training and stuff at that time, a lot of them. Myron Reed accidentally won the Glory Pro Championship. I don't believe it was his fault. It was like a referee mistake. But when I first started traveling from Nashville to St. Louis to watch those shows live, Myron Reed was the Glory Pro Crown of Glory champion, so good to see him back in Glory Pro. So once again, if you want to watch this show and all these Ascend episodes, they're free over on the Glory Pro Wrestling YouTube channel. Moving on, got results for NXT Level Up. This show aired on July 5th, 2024. I watched it on Hulu, so that's where I recommend you check it out. We had 3 matches and an interview segment as per normal. First match we had was Josh Briggs over Shiloh Hill. Finish of this one was a lariat for the 1-2-3. After that, we had an interview segment with Tyra Mae Steele. She is making her NXT Level Up debut. Her real name is not Tyra Mae Steele. She actually is a legitimate Olympic gold medalist in freestyle wrestling, which, I mean, one of the hardest accomplishments in the entire world to achieve. And I think it's kind of strange they're not using her real name. Like, it'd be like not using Kurt Angle's real name. I know they don't use Chad Gable's real name. And, you know, it goes back and forth. They use Gable Stevenson's real name. I'm not sure why they do and don't in certain circumstances. I don't know how much that has to do with the wrestler themselves and them wanting to, like, trademark out their own name and stuff like that. I don't know. But nonetheless, I mean, they're leaning heavily into the whole Tyra Mae Steele is an Olympic gold medalist. I mean, she is, it's just, you know, red, white, and blue USA regalia to the T. I mean, to the max. You know, in your face, you know she is, she loves America and she represented our country. So she basically talks about that in a quick interview. And her first match is Ren Sinclair defeating Tyra Mae Steele, which was confusing to me, especially the way that this happened. Because basically what happens is Tyra goes for a schoolboy roll-up and Ren just, like, uses the momentum to float over into her own pin and gets the 1-2-3. And for an Olympic gold medalist to lose with just, like, a straight-up, essentially, like, an amateur wrestling reversal, I mean, you wouldn't see that exact reversal ever in amateur. This stuff wouldn't happen at high-level amateur wrestling, don't get me wrong, but the idea of somebody getting tricked and outpinned that's supposed to be an Olympic gold medalist, that was a little weird. So don't love that to start off this run for Tyra Mae Steele, but I'm excited, you know, and at least looking forward to her future in the company. Obviously, things didn't go good for Gable Stevenson, and I saw that his brother Damon Kemp is no longer with the company too, so, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, that said, Ren Sinclair gets the win clean with a reversal of a pin into her own pin for the 1-2-3. After the match, they high-five each other. And the main event of the show, which, once again, I don't want to harp on this too much, but, like, you're used to winning, your Olympic gold medalist, and you lose. You figured you'd probably be kind of salty or, like, maybe kind of take it weird. You know, Ronda Rousey, every time she loses, she completely, you know, freaks out and doesn't talk to the media. I'm not saying that's, like, the way you should handle yourself. I'm just saying, like, you know, there's sore losers and then there's, you know, caring. You know, I don't know how else to really kind of put it. But, you know, that was kind of weird, the high five at the end. Anyway, the main event of the show, we had Luca Crucifino over Uriah Connors. The finish here was Connors going to the outside and kind of confronting the D'Angelo family that was outside the ring. He knocks the hat off of Tony D'Angelo. Crucifino spears Connors, beats him up on the outside, throws him into the ring, hits him with a code breaker, followed up with the case closed, his vertical suplex into a backbreaker for the 1-2-3. This was great stuff. I mean, this was a solid episode of NXT Level Up. Once again, I'm kind of confused by the booking of Tyra Mae Steele. But Josh Briggs, you can tell that he's in for some sort of push on Level Up and or the main show again soon. And, you know, Crucifino got stuff going on with the D'Angelo family. Uriah Connors, the son of Vit Finley, the brother of Dave Finley. You know, obviously, I saw him as Brogan Finley on the indies a lot during his short run. I literally saw his, like, third match ever because he was wrestling out of Chattanooga. So, you know, love seeing this stuff. If you're open-minded and you want to see people learning on the spot, this is the show for you, and I can't say enough good things about it. I thoroughly enjoy Level Up. If you don't check the show out, I feel like you're missing out if you're a WWE fan. But, you know, I understand it isn't for everyone, and there's a lot of wrestling. I get it. But that said, check out Level Up if you want to. Just go into it with the right mindset. All right, spoiler alert. We are going to do Ring of Honor spoilers to end the show. If you don't want Ring of Honor spoilers, go ahead and turn this off now, and please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. These are going to be Ring of Honor TV taping spoilers from the 6th. So this is on July 6th. This was from the same day as AEW Collision. And these will be airing on upcoming episodes of Ring of Honor Honor Club Television. So 3, 2, 1, spoiler alert. Here are the Ring of Honor spoilers. We got the ROH World TV title proving ground match, Atlantis Jr. over Serpentico. At a three-way where Taya Valkyrie with Johnny TV on the outside defeats Marina Shafir and Robin Lynn Renegade. Good to see the Renegade twins. Always talk about how I got to call some of their matches for Championship District Wrestling, CDW, here in Atlanta. I loved being a part of that company when I was around. We had Lance Archer and the Righteous, the team of Vincent and Dutch, over Dalton Castle and the Outrunners, the team of Truth Magnum and Turbo Floyd. The ROH World Women's TV Title Proving Ground match, Billy Starks, with Athena on the outside, defeats Mackenzie Morgan. We had Diamante over Nyx, and it looks like the main event of the tapings. We had Lee Johnson and the Infantry, the team of Carly Bravo and Sean Dean, with Trish Adora on the outside. They defeat the Dark Order combination of Alex Reynolds, Evil Uno, and John Silver. As I mentioned, CDW, I'll always give a shout-out to Carly Bravo, who was at some of those CDW events. And I've said it 1,000 times, people hate me repeating myself, but it is what it is. I will always have love for Carly Bravo because he complimented me when I wore my Ken Griffey Jr. shoes for the first time at that show. I love those Griffeys. I have multiple pairs in multiple colors. And Carly Bravo, I was already a fan of, but you got a fan for life because he was very, very kind to me at that show. I was a little self-conscious. I didn't know how people would like my swag at that event. You know what I mean? But Carly Bravo made me feel better. So that all said, that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Make sure to follow me on X at FightTalk_ and use code FightTalk at independentwrestling.tv. Watch the Spotlight every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Myself and Jeremy Lambert. We talk the world of pro wrestling. We talk WWE, AEW, indies, everything in between. And we have interviews for y'all as well. As I mentioned before, the plan this week is to have Scott Hensley return to the show and promote the SCI weekend. We got SCI Future Showcase, a whole bunch of stuff coming up. Then Action Wrestling, their sister company, you know, a couple weeks later as well here in Atlanta. So a lot to talk about with Scott. Hope you tune in and you know, join us as well. So that all said, I've been Steven Jensen. Until next weekend, just professional wrestling.